Hello everyone, my name is Monica Batsuk. Welcome to my channel of Challenges versus Opportunities podcast, the first episode ever. I am so excited about this opportunity. So there is so much I would like you to get in, dive into our content. What we are creating here, what we are doing here is we're offering so much opportunity for everyone who has been challenged by life, who has been challenged by poverty, who has been challenged by mediocre lifestyle and everything else that's going on around you, the noise around you, social media around you. I want to give you hit after hit after hit after hit to improve your performance in life. My name is Monica Batsuk. I am originally from Mongolia. This podcast is actually designed for Mongolians globally who speak English, who can understand English, who also is playing in global platform of entrepreneurship and leadership, educational space of living. So I myself originally come from Mongolia, lived in the UK last 17 years. And we have so much around this year. I have learned so much. But the reason why I came to the UK was this situation. And I grew up in Mongolia. I always had this amazing father figure over my head, telling me what to do, teaching me the best, highest integrity possible, the authentic version of the leadership possible in my vision. But I was alongside, as long as I was growing, I always knew I had to educate myself better. I need to learn better. He was one of the best people around the world, around myself, around my little country of Mongolia. I respected him so much. But all that I get, I discovered a little something. My dad was struggling on certain levels. It's something to do with the money, something to do with the relationship, something to do with the business. All three of us combined. And all of those, there are certain, he's an educated teacher himself. He's a teacher in a high school. He has been all his life. He's been doing his best. God knows he's done his best. But there were parts. Because what happens in Mongolia, the culture where we came from, how things work in Mongolia, he had this language barrier to communicate with the rest of the world. He also did have lots of challenges because he didn't know, no one taught him or no one, you know, showed him the way it could be better than how he was doing. So that was all his life. In the end, when he died in 2002 at the only age of 47, you know, everything fell down on me. I find that this most frustrating, most challenging time in my life. I was only 20-something year old. And for me, that experience was horrendous. I found myself lost in the world. I found myself shrinking smaller than ever before. I found something I believed in disconnected from me. And this is where I discovered he had so many challenges. No one actually came across helping him. No one actually knew how to fix his life. No one actually knew how to fix his relationship. No one actually knew how to fix his country. And he was very confused and illusionized in the world of living. And this is where I had this big question inside myself. I don't want to end up like my father. I don't want to live like this. I also don't want anyone else like my father to suffer like this. All these, their sufferings are not knowing coming from. This is why I wanted to choose a path that to educate myself and having that quality education, whatever level that means for me, to look for opportunities. This is why I left my country in 2003. Here I am after 17 years forward, 16 years forward, right? Soon to be 17. So, and I can see myself such a different light now. And this is where that was caused to me and leading to self-educating myself, studying and learning, becoming a personal and business performance coach. I started doing my books and everything I could. I've written two books called Challenges versus Opportunity in Mongolian language. And also have written a second book called Money versus My Value in Mongolian language. All of that combined with that, they just take me to a place, an amazing place of entrepreneurship. All of those took me to a place like being global citizen, global platform leadership. In 2015, I became the most trusted business leader in the UK. For a little girl coming from Mongolia, that is outrageous name and label I was attached to myself. And suddenly I was shocked, and I realized, actually, it's not that big. The world we're living in can be changed. And because of the one single person started doing something differently, started teaching and training and telling people how we could do better, it changes the influence. And then I have amazing followers from Mongolia now listening this podcast, exactly. And I am so inspired by my fellow Mongolians living abroad globally, doing their best in their own best life version possible. And I can see a lot of passionate entrepreneurs raising up, playing high and high every single time. And this is why I find all my years, last 16, 17 years of my work that was dedicated to Mongolians, curing poverty through education and entrepreneurship. And what we do online is like doing courses, doing things and coaching trainings for like, there is this word saying, Chinggis Khan saying, like, first, you need to fix yourself. Second, you need to fix your family. Third, you need to fix your country. That steps, we go through all those steps to change lives, to make differences in small portions possible. Every single year, we have amazing people coming in. Every single year, we have bigger community growing up. Here's why I am doing this. So the reason why I am doing this level is I've never done something in English. This podcast, first ever podcast I've done. I'm recording right now. I'm so excited for this opportunity. And second thing, I've got this amazing, amazing guest today to introduce to you. Someone called Rafael Badziak. And I met him last week in Above and Beyond Conference, London, Thought Leadership Conference, that is. And he has written a book called Billion Dollar Secret. When I met him, his English wasn't that great. And he was saying, like, you see, Monica, my English is not that great, but I am still doing my best possible. It's not about English-speaking world. Everyone around us, we are global citizens. We are global entrepreneurs. And I've written this book for everyone to have the inspiration to become a billionaire. I've written this to change the difference in even including through your community. I want to message that to you, to message this through you. And when I had this book signed, what he has done on this book is like, let this book lead you on the way to your first billion. And then Monica is so much inspired. And Raphael did me some blessings. And part of me, I never thought about money, never thought myself becoming billionaire. I might have done it, but I don't know whether I am committed to become. I know I have a passion to serve and I have a purpose to do something bigger than myself. And then I've realized, like, actually, how I think, what I think is becoming bigger and bigger than myself to contain it. Here's why I'm doing this podcast. I'm, you know, interviewing this amazing author, entrepreneur, and social entrepreneur, multimillionaire, a global entrepreneur, top TED speaker, angel investor. He is valued expert in psychology of entrepreneurship and specializing in self-made billionaires. And, you know, he's amazing. Do you see what I mean? And he's been featured on NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, as well as USA Today, Wall Street Journal, other newspapers and TV networks all around the world. So I'm so, so excited about this opportunity. So here we are having my Raphael Bodzia coming in. Thank you very much showing up here, Raphael. I am so excited. And, you know, thanks for this amazing note you have written on the book. It made me inspired. It made me feel like all lover of the moon. I've done last
week. Crossing fingers for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I've done my Facebook Live with my community, and everyone was so inspired for the messages. Your book is so simple, so easy to understand. Everyone, anyone who's like a dumbest person in the world can communicate with this thing. It's amazing. The language you picked up, it's very easy to convert any culture and diversity backgrounds. They can understand what it means. And then,
yeah, this is a global project. Yeah. That's why I have chosen, you know, you can convey the best value, the best thoughts in very simple words so everybody can understand that, and especially people around the world. You don't need to be born in the US, UK. Actually, I know of people who use that book to actually learn English, or to, this is the first book in English that they have read. And so.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much. So everyone who's listening here, they need to go to thebilliondollarsecret.com, right? Where they can book this, buy this book. And
there's also an audiobook version. We just published several days ago an audiobook. It's even cheaper than the book.
It's on Amazon. It's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I saw a few places. When I just checked the name of the book, it goes in very easily. You can find it anywhere around the world. Like Billion Dollar Secret. That's the words you need to type out to discover this book. And to go to the website to you know,
The
billiondollarsecret.com. That's the word. Absolutely. Thank you. Well, yes, I have, you know, when I read the like foreword by Jack Canfield written it, and also there are lots of amazing millionaires and billionaires written all about it. I felt like, that's amazing. How did you get that? And how is that possible for you to, you know, get into all that? And I don't know you personally, but I have the understanding of, like, you started working with some of them, but while you're doing interviews, you started partnering with some of them, having some offers and some thoughts going on. I know before you, I started to, like, where you came from, like, 5 years back, and I saw the motivation is so amazing. We'll get to that later on. But now you've written the book. It's working out there, and you've got all over the world doing interviews and then doing amazing conference calls and stuff. So what do you see the difference after writing this amazing book yourself? And how do you feel inside you growing up, and what did you learn, your best part of version of it, though, taking this leap of journey and leap of faith in a way? Yeah. So could you share that thought with me, please?
So the question is how I changed throughout the project, right? I mean, what kind of person I became. So when you were listening to my speech, maybe your audience can watch my TED talk, Impossible is Easier Than You Think. I did some, let's say, impossible challenges before that project already. So my so to say, my attitude or my mindset switched already a little bit before that project. It was in general, you know, you have to try it, and then if it works, it's okay. If it doesn't work, it's also okay. So, but as long as you don't try it, you will never know. Even seemingly impossible things can be achieved. If you take action, if you try to do them, you will find a way to actually achieve them if you have the perseverance to do them. But in that project, I learned apparently a lot about business, because this was my goal to learn from the very best entrepreneurs in the world. And you were saying about millionaires and billionaires, that I have a hardcover version of the book here. Yeah. But actually, in that book, they are only billionaires, only self-made billionaires. So there are no millionaires in this book, because it's a completely different level, as I was mentioning in that speech. Maybe we will talk about that later. What's the difference in maybe in scale and also in thinking before between millionaires and billionaires? But what I learned was to even think much bolder, to think bigger in business, in my ventures, because it doesn't take more energy to think big in comparison to thinking small. The only thing is, if you think big, you have the chance of achieving big things. But if you think small, you do small things, and you get small outcomes. So the payoff is different, but the energy you actually and the difficulty you invest in thinking is the same. So it just doesn't make sense to think small, because it doesn't benefit you at all. So this is one thing. And the other thing is the understanding how what billionaires are and how great and big companies get created. So generally, business on that level is everything about creating value. You have to understand, in order to do big stuff in business, you need to create great value for many people, for millions of people, optimally for billions of people, right? Steve Jobs didn't become a billionaire because he was greedy or he wanted to be extremely successful. No, he became a billionaire because he created so much value for others, right? And this is how every billionaire comes to existence, so to say, right? So you have to create great value, and this is actually what business is all about creating value for others. Yeah. And the more value you create, the better business you have, the more money you make, and the more successful in business you become. So generally, this mindset shift, right? So it's not about making money, it's not about earning, it's about creating value, about building.
Building and creating. There were 10 amazing motivations you lined out when you were talking about this gold digger's attitude and all that. There's a gold digger's trap. That's something I really like. As soon as it jumped out of the page, because there were so many people, because I know I'm from Mongolia, there's lots of mining going on, and I'm people digging the ground just to find the money. But I find it so sad to see people going to that extent, trying to dig out a small portion of money for gold, trying to exchange that in a business, and they're not getting rich. No one's getting rich. They have to become poorer and poorer. And how you described in there, and somehow we have this where the way we see the world, people worry about money. They're more about thinking about the money when they're doing something. Money is good, but part of it, they lose the value of things, and then use the value of what they're actually creating, the creation of building something. And that is where the trick is, where we focus on our head, focus on ourselves to create that. And I'm so grateful for what you said there to mention that. And I think there was another thing I wanted to ask, because you said when you started doing this high five and thing, I have a millionaire mind. And that moment, you were saying you feel inside like, well, I don't feel like cheerful. I'm not feeling like that. And then I don't want to join the rest of the world because I'm a millionaire, multi-millionaire myself at the time, 5 years back. And then when you now after this communication and connecting, and there's a difference, like something's changed. There's a shift of the mind, as you say, in there. But many of us, the people who are listening to us, they're not even to the point of where you feel like a mediocre, becoming multimillionaire, but you still feel like you are mediocre, that level. Like, no, I haven't achieved anything, just anything. That sort of, it's a difference, isn't it? So how did you, I want to just dig into a little bit more on who you are, where you were coming from. How did you manage up doing this? German, you know, taking on this e-commerce in Europe. And then first 1990s, that's very, very early stage.
Right, right.
How did you get into that leap? And then not even just the first million, for many, many people, it's a big leap. But for you, it seems like you already jumped high up already. And you feel like, okay, maybe it was that plateau, you say. Yeah, probably that moment you were sharing. But I want to dig it back into that corner of like where you discovered that, how did you choose that market and how did you make that what's coming? What did you, where did you hear your instinct, your attitude? And you were, I've heard a little bit of your story back then. You were talking about, is this something to do with not personality? Is there something else, the failing end, or, you know, feeling like dissatisfied by yourself end? But before that, when you get on that horse to begin with,
okay,
you share that moment, and I want to hear that. Yeah,
okay.
I think many people want to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. Generally, it was 1990s, and I was a student. I always were interested in computer science, and I remember, you know, at some time in my, let's say, when I was 15, maybe 14, 15. You know, the 8-bit computers came, and I wanted to have a computer because I considered computer as a wonderful machine that I can tell something to do and it will do it, right?
Yeah.
So, like some kind of, I don't know, a slave, my slave, right?
Yeah.
I could do, you know, program it to do anything, right? Yeah. And but my father, or at that time, you know, computers, they were like gaming machines. I mean, people could see them only as gaming, especially these 8-bit computers. They weren't, there were no computers in businesses at that time in Europe and stuff. And I wanted my father to buy me a computer. And he told me, you know, I will buy you a computer, but tell me, will you earn your bread with that machine at some time in the future? And I keep reminding him of that I'm really, earning my livelihood with computers very much. And that came from that from that early start when I wanted to do something with that. And then I was studying mathematics with computer science, and I was on an exchange program. And it was like very early days of internet. When I remember when I went with my girlfriend at that time into a computer center at the university, and I showed her, you know, the first internet terminals, and they were really primitive, like text-based, and I like typed on a key on the keyboard and told her, and then it showed up on the terminal. But the thing was, the signal traveled to Australia and back, and then showed on the terminal. And I explained it to her. And it was so amazing to realize
that.
But it was like, you know, only in research, and you know, maybe you had like researchers had email, and there were like there was no wide world web, or really the very beginning, nobody used that in the mainstream, I mean, outside of university, outside of research. And I went to the United States for a 1-year exchange program at the university. And in the States, the internet started to commercialize. They were the first search engines like Alta Vista, Lycos, Yahoo also existed at that time. But at that time, nobody knew, for example, Amazon. Amazon was a small idea, maybe some store. It was in existence already. It was 97, 97, 98.
Yeah.
But not really, I mean, nobody knew about that. And, you know, when I was talking to people, and then I generally, so I learned a little bit about the technology, like HTML and stuff like that. And I came back with the idea to somehow apply it in Europe, because I could see the future, because I could see how it works in the States. It starts to commercialize. When I came to back to Europe, I decided to start the first online shop, like fully functioning online shop for sporting goods. They were the first, let's say, company websites, but they were just visit cards. There were no functionality. You couldn't really order anything. You could maybe, you know, take the email and write somebody in the company, I would like to buy that, but you couldn't process an order over internet. But I did the first fully functioning online shop for sporting goods in the German-speaking market. And I remember at that time when I was talking...
Why German-speaking market, though, if I ask?
So German-speaking market means Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Why? Because I live in Germany. I mean, this is my
country. Okay, yeah.
So,
at the time you were.
Somehow my father was in that industry as an import-export company, so he had some connections to, you know, to source goods and stuff. So I didn't have to worry about that part of the equation. I just had to worry about, you know, the retail, the sales, the, you know, the website, and not about the buying side, like the, you know, purchasing side, because we had access to the material, to merchandise. So, and so this is how I, you know, how I started. Okay. I remember people in my industry, and you have to know at that time it was really traditional industry, backward industry. Maybe it is still quite a traditional industry, and they were all saying, you know, you are crazy, this is this internet, this is just you know, a fashion, it will go by, and nobody would ever buy, like, you were selling bikes, for example, over internet, like bicycles. They said nobody would ever buy bikes over internet. Are you crazy? What are you doing? And so after years, you know how it developed, right? So
that's a lot.
Right. I started it out of the dorm. So it was a hobby project. I just wanted to see how it works, and it grew quite considerably. And after a while, when I graduated from the university, I worked for a while for an internet company. And did it on the side, so to say, in the evening or during the weekends. But then at some point, it just grew so big that I had to commit myself fully to that, to that venture, to that company. And it became a multi-million dollar company. I think we did probably something between 50 million, maybe $100 million in revenue since then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Congratulations. But again, it feels like ancient back, but actually you're very young, I know. You are very young, but it's 14.
No,
you started very early. Yeah. You started early, you took a hit, you know, where you wanted to go. And then when I read your book and I also see the insights, you are very analytical. You said you're a mathematician, right?
Yeah.
The way you are doing with the tech quiz, in a sense, for us. And I read the book and there were lots of nice sort of comparison numbers, like 1 in 10,000, 1 billion in 10,000 millionaires. Which then, like, what does this mean? No one actually thought of that. And then how you gave us this insight of, like, a millionaire compared to the billionaire, and then what is the difference? It's like a huge difference we see, and then the amount of business they do, and how we see one hotel equals to, like, a millionaire, but 200 hotels somewhere about billionaire land. And then that gives us such a huge perspective. And thanks for doing that amazing job. Just because you're a mathematician, or just because you have this amazing background of techie and numbers world, and you really enjoy that. And there's another part of me thinking, triggered to think like, you're just mathematician. In a sense, my father or everyone else whom I know, and lots of amazing physics and mathematicians and amazing science people out there, they're very smart. What they're missing and what would you advise to them, say, you know, how you use their, how they supposed to be using their genius side to become a billionaire, what they're missing?
Yeah, I have a very good quote for you because I very often use it, and I actually use that in my TED Talk, Impossible is Easier Than You Think. So the audience can check it out on YouTube. The difference, I always say, the difference between knowledge, between ignorance and knowledge, is much less than the difference between knowledge and action. And so people think, you know, if I learn something, if I know something, then I will be successful, then I will, you know, make it. Now, this is, the knowledge alone is not enough. And this is exactly the problem for most intellectuals, very intelligent people who know a lot of things, who know everything about anything about everything, or are specialists, experts in some area. But the thing is, you have to take action. If you don't take action, nothing will happen, and you will never succeed in anything. And the difference, and there is a huge difference, really, between, you know, being able to do something like theoretically and actually doing that. And most people then don't they don't take action for many reasons. In my cases, if I do like impossible things or things that I consider impossible or other people consider impossible, this is just the, you know, because if you don't believe it, you can make it happen. You just want to take the first step, right? But the other things is, you know, there may be a low probability of that. And you would say, is it worth spending that time and effort and whatever? So, for example, let's say this project, right? I spent 6 years on that to make it, to make that happen, to interview all these people and to write the book, then to publish this book on this global market that I'm not, as I told you in London, I'm not from UK, I'm not from US, I don't know people, I don't know the industry. This was my first standalone book, and I don't even speak English that fluently as the native speakers, but nevertheless, I succeeded. And I took a huge risk because as I said, 1 in 5 million people in the world is a billionaire. So the probability of interviewing 20 billionaires, if you take it by that measure, it's just close to zero, right? But you actually can bend that probability in your favor if you take action. But you just have to realize these 6 years would pass anyway. If I take action or if I don't take action, the years, the time will pass. The thing is, will I do something about that? Will I take the chance and have the chance to achieve something? Or will I just let the time pass and stay, let's say, in mediocrity or, you know, in my everyday routine without actually doing something extraordinary that I could be proud about and somehow, you know, contribute something to the world, to create something of value, to create something of importance, something of significance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's basically like knowledge plus action. So you might get into somewhere. So yeah, I can see a lot of people, smart people, have lots of theories, but they are very scared to take action. There's a sort of just
fear of failure. Major of fear of detection, fear of failure. This is one of the major inhabitants of action and success, because, you know, our educational system, and I think this is more or less the same in every country, punishes the failures, and that's why people are conditioned to not try if they don't know for sure they will succeed, right? And this is a major mistake, right? So people just wait for perfect conditions. They wait for, you know, till they know everything about every step of the journey. And only then they take action. And maybe even then they hesitate because they think, what happens if I fail and what would other people
say? They think
say?
A bit too much before and, taking action.
Right, it's too much risk for me, to my reputation, to my, I don't know what.
The funny thing about this risk thing, what I've realized is, like, if you don't take action, you are in a risky land all over again, because everything's changing so much, the technology and everything. If you don't do anything, you have nothing anyway. You are just landing in where you are. Actually, the value we hold right now is going to be nothing. And longer it goes, it's nothing, really.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Part of it,
you know, it's also also the time to think about somehow having your, let's say, let's use this big word, but you don't need to name it that big, to have your fate in your own hand. What I mean is actually to be proactive, right? Are you the one who is attacking, who is controlling, deciding about what you want, you what you want to approach and to, you know, to do? Or are you just reacting to some changing conditions, as you say, and be always in that defensive situation, afraid of, you know, of that something happen, and if something happens, then you try somehow to avoid the consequences of that. And this is what one of my billionaires in the book also said, Jack Cohen, who is a great mentor of mine, and he said, don't wait for the dogs barking at the door to take action, right?
Wow, that is very powerful words. Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. There was this part, like in the beginning of your book, you mentioned about Napoleon Hill and Andrew Carnegie and how Think and Grow Rich come out in a place. Was this your insight of like what this book, you want to take it as, well, you know, it's the knowledge you're putting across. It's almost like very similar story actually reappearing in the service. Like at the time, it was like a millionaire or, you know, not even millionaire. They were like riches in a certain level. But now we talk about billionaire who are riches, right? So how do you see that is, you know, yourself? Was it your intention to create that?
Yeah. So I was apparently inspired. This was one of my inspirations, Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
Maybe I will repeat the short the story there. 100 years ago, we had this, the wealthiest person in the world was Andrew Carnegie. And he had this idea that that there is some commonalities between all successful people in business. And there should be something like a system for success in business. So he suspected all great entrepreneurs, they have similar methods or similar mindset that allowed them to achieve that greatness in business and build that much value that made them so, you would say, so rich in the consequence. And he gave Napoleon Hill, a young journalist, a mission to meet these people, to interview them, to, you know, extract their wisdom, their knowledge, and then to construct the first philosophy of success. And Napoleon Hill, he gave him letters of introduction, so it was easy, right?
For him, he had this like a bridge to connect with these riches, like, you know, Andrew Carnegie had. But how about you, though? That was my question. How did you get to contact those billionaires? And how was
it
hard?
I didn't
what
have
did
any Andrew Carnegie.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the part most people think, like, billionaires wouldn't, you know, care. So how did you manage? What was your...
So generally you have to know they are extremely rare people, as I said, 1 in 5 million people, and they are... surrounded by gatekeepers, whatever. So if you try, they are really difficult to find and then to approach, and even more difficult to convince because they have busy lives. If somebody has, let's say, 82 companies, as one of my billionaires in the book, he, you can imagine he is pretty busy, right? But this is everything that you put a limitation. I mean, if you put that limitation on yourself, that you say it's impossible to approach them or to convince them, then this is like self-fulfilling prophecy. You won't even try to do that. But if you start trying that, you will find methods that work. And the more people you know, the easier it is to get to know next people. And at the end of my project, I got just introduced from one to another, because I was able to bring them value. And this is generally whatever you do in life or in business, you just have to provide value for other people. You don't just go, oh, I would like, and I want to do something. You say, you know,
there's certain exchange going on. In
this is something
like exchange.
So you have to, what is in there for you, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, if I say, you know, I'm writing a book with the best, let's say, a nonfiction author in history, and this is a great global project, and we have only the best entrepreneurs, this is something of an honor for every entrepreneur to be part of that book, right?
Yeah,
so this
the
is kind
value,
of value, a part of the legacy, partly to be, so to say, remembered in a book that I at least communicated as something, as a milestone in in the book history or in the success literature, right?
Yeah. It was amazing. Some of the stories, these billionaires telling their personal stories, they're very inspirational. The guy from India, the guy from, you know, all of those really changed the way we think about billionaires. They just, it's so brilliant. And the
because you realize these people are, you know, like you and me, right? I mean, they started also with zero. They have their own emotions, their dreams, their desires, their problems, their fights. You know, they defeats along the way, and some of them started in really, really difficult conditions with no chances for success whatsoever, but they managed to succeed nevertheless due to the, you know, strong will, to perseverance, to what, due to what they big dreams, to that, that they knew exactly what they wanted, and and you realize, you know, they have certain set of characteristics, of principles that is common to all of them, and that really helps to achieve that greatness in business, in life, right?
Yeah, then the way you put it across, it made it so simple, as well as there are so many small, like very small details of something, only you can...
almost, you know, on the way, but if you tweak it a little bit, then it can accelerate.
It's just mind-blowing, the stories after this, like how you put in only small paragraph, you made that point very clear and precise. The story is like just a bullet point. You know, the titles you put in there, it's really jumping out to my face, right? It's just such a blessing for everyone else, rest of the world, who should really benefit from that. There were lots of parts like, I read some of this. I feel like, I've heard it somewhere, but actually when I go deeper, the story just gives me some juice in there.
Yeah, because, you know, if you say, you know, people be, let's say, diligent, right? I mean, this is, you have to really read the stories in order to understand the degree of diligence that they employ, right? Because diligence means different things for different people, right?
Yeah, and the deeper it goes, back end, it's more like for millionaires and billionaires, normal people don't actually know what to do about it, because they feel like, oh, you know, this is where I get dropped, but you still made it very simple enough for anyone who can just get the idea of what it means, and then gave that idea, like, that is amazing. It's like a, you know, encyclopedia or some sort of like a big handbook for anyone who wants to become a billionaire. So I really applaud you on how hard you work put in, and it's going to go really far, far on this book. I'm so pleased that I get a chance with you. And there was like...
For having me, it was a pleasure talking to you. Yeah.
I am so inspired, but I would wish we could connect again and again on any chance I could get your time on it, on this podcast. I'm really happy.
Let's
say
that, you know, if there is nothing, if there is something new happening, I will let you know, and maybe we'll talk about that, any new events, whatever.
Absolutely. Like, I would be delighted.
It would be even glad if Mongolia, maybe we have an edition, you know, in Mongolia we have 9 language editions right now. Maybe there will be even one in Mongolia. I will let you know if this is the case.
Okay, yes, please. Yeah, we would be happy to, you know, spread that message. And of course, we have so much things to share. And then I have so much, so many questions, but I know you have a little bit of time consuming situation going on. So thank you so much for your amazing time. And I want every reader here, every listener out here listening to us, please type out the billion dollar secret.com. Right. That's where you're going to meet Raphael. But your surname is like Badziak, is that right?
Badziak is right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and every time I spell, I wonder like a little bit like.
Right. No, I mean, it's good you the way you spell it. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much, and you have an amazing afternoon.
Thanks so much, Monica, for having me, and I wish great success for your readers, and I hope this book, because, you know, I wrote that for entrepreneurs around the world. It's a global project. We didn't have a billionaire from Mongolia, but I hope
hopefully
this will
have
many people to step up the game, and maybe we'll get much more great entrepreneurs from Mongolia, because, you know, you have to realize behind every billionaire, there is a great company. There is a great value for the society and for the mankind, right?
Amazing. That's absolutely right. And I'm so inspired to be part of your journey of, you know, sharing your message. And I'm so impressed with everything you've done. So thank you ever so much.
I wish you all the best and all the best to your audience. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, I have an amazing question for you. So then, what did you find from this call? What did you find this podcast, and where did you get your message, the best message you can think of getting out of this one? And I'm hoping this today's call has made you some thinking. And he's just a simple guy, and I am just a simple girl, just like you, just like me, everyone else. We're all doing simple way of living, and hopefully we create some amazing value to everyone else around us. So I'm so pleased to be part of this call, part of this community, part of everyone else who is following us. And if you want to get to know more about that, please subscribe our podcast. In the future, let me know what you think, how is your experience, and give me some comments on how we would like, who would you want us to interview. In the future, we will have more and more amazing authors and speakers, and perhaps someone who's making bigger difference and making difference, changing the world in their own hand and making difference by their own passion and desire and the purposeful living. And hopefully we share a little bit more of people who's sharing their knowledge into the world of entrepreneurship. And I'm so pleased, and I've done this, and hopefully you find yourself little bit of value, and we share this path in the future together. Please join us more. Please ask your friend to listen to this podcast. If you liked it, please let us know. If you give us some sort of feedback, the direction we can also go ahead, please feel free to share us. I'm happy to listen. If you want to know more about me, myself, monicabatsu.com, there are challenges for Mongolian speakers. I do everything in that on that website. MonicaBatsu.com is designed for Mongolians to do life-changing experience. So when you visit my website, MonicaBatsu.com, there is this journey I lead on for people to do 30 days to change your life. And that is entirely free. I give other free stuff with it, and I give you a free ebook, and I also give my weekly insights, and also you could even listen to my podcast in Mongolian language as well as in English. So, you know, if you speak English, please do share your thoughts on this, and I'm happy to, you know, expand my network of Mongolians who speak English. And I also want to connect with global entrepreneurs who's really making difference in the world of global community, global entrepreneurship platform. So that's it for me now, and hope you have a good day. Bye.